We're moving into Romans, the middle of the chapter. We're going to start down here, a little ways down, at verse 9, and we're going to read down through verse 13. This is the New American Standard Translation. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, there are several things mentioned there, but we're going to zero in on this first phrase of verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The first thought I want to share with you is be devoted to the right things. As you know, the world is constantly hammering us, calling for us to become devoted to the many things of this world. Some of those things that we are called to be committed to are actually in direct opposites of each other. And yet, we just get all these calls for us to be fully devoted to these various things. Salesmen and promoters work on us to get us to commit to their specific product choice ways of living. They tempt us, they suggest to us, they plead with us, they beg with us, they cry over us, they order us, they nag us, and they try to trick us into signing their dotted line. And have you ever been there? Several times. Any way that they can, they try to get us to commit to what they want you to do. Many have enlisted in the military thinking they were going to be something. My oldest brother signed up for the Navy, and he loved electronics. And he signed up thinking he would become working in the Navy in the electronics field. Guess what? He's colorblind. How do you tell the different colors of wires from each other when you're colorblind? So guess what? He didn't get to do any electronics. He ended up as a seaman out there doing something else. And how many soldiers sign up thinking they were going to do one thing when they end up doing another? Wherever the military wants you, they will put you to fill the need. Many people devote themselves to financial enslavement through high interest loans for their homes. How many of you bought a house more than what you really needed? How many of you have invested in a vehicle? How many of you have bought toys? Yes, even as adults, I know some of you have invested in something you really liked, but it was really a big person's toy. How many of us invest in clothes, and more clothes, shoes, wherever you want to put it? How many of us just buy stuff we really don't need? It's a fact of life, because you go through the store and you're walking down the aisle, and unless you're really disciplined, if you're really focused on only getting your little list of things that you know you have to have, you reach out and say, oh, that looks so nice. I could really use that in my house in about 50 years. And so we buy stuff all the time. Those of us who visit the store on a regular basis. Many try out marriage. And this is one of the sad things. They try it out. They don't commit, they try it out. And yeah, I'm not coming down on you, though we have some here that have been through a divorce. I'm not criticizing you. But, you know, God's design, when we read Scripture, He designed marriage for life. And we see the trials of this world. wear on us and they pull on us, and that marriage is torn apart for various reasons, violating the plan of God. The devotion is annihilated, and there is no more devotion for the long term. Christians make their devotion to who first? To God first. That needs to be our first priority. We have to learn this. It's a lifelong process. We are not made perfect in the beginning. We have to work on our prioritizing the right things in the right order. And sometimes it comes by the school of hard knocks, by failure, until we finally get our priorities straight, putting God first. We see this in verse 1 of our text, reminding us that we have presented our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God through Jesus Christ. We are living sacrifices. Jesus bought for us and paid for us with His life. He took our sin upon Himself and paid the full price so that we could have a relationship with God, being His children. All the other decisions are to be judged as whether or not they honor this first relationship. Does the choice we make please God in our serving Him as His children? Are they benefiting God, or is it our choice, our lust, our desire? Does it benefit building the kingdom of God, or is it a detriment to our service and our commitment to Jesus? Are the decisions we make selfish, or are they beneficial for the body of Jesus Christ? The old saying that came about when I was a teenager is WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we need to still ask that question. When we're making those decisions, it may be a little decision, it may be a major decision, but the question still is, what would Jesus do? What would He want me to choose? And what priority is this? Evaluate the opportunities with spiritual discernment before you commit yourself. And a lot of people, they will force you. They want an answer right now. And God says, wait. If there's anything in your mind that says stop, listen, think about this before you sign, before you commit, you better stop, wait, think about it, and pray about it, seeking God's decision. Will God be pleased with the decision, the choice, the commitment you're making? Did you pray, asking for God's guidance? Is the Holy Spirit sending you warning signs, red flags that you're ignoring or refusing to accept? Have you asked for advice from other wise Christians? Sometimes it's beneficial to stop and call somebody. I need some help. I need some advice. What do you think? How often do we do that? Oh, no, I don't need anybody's help. I'm my own person. Right? I'm Mr. Independent. No, as Christians, we are servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Don't be like the man that prayed, God, if you really want me to go buy this pie, let there be a parking spot right in front of the door. And the sixth time around the block, it must have been God's plan for him to buy this pie, because the sixth time around the block, guess what? There's a parking spot opening up right now in front of the front door. You know, if we keep praying and praying and praying and saying, this must be the right thing, what's God going to do? He says, you want to be that way? You're going to be bullheaded about this? Okay, try it out and see what happens. You'll find out. and it won't be the right answer. Be sure your priorities of devotion are in the right order. Earning a living, having a home, caring for the family, maintaining your vehicles, and so much more are necessary. They are part of living in life, but are they in the right priority? If you're not serving God through Jesus Christ first, then you have your priorities mixed up. Your faith and your devotion must be first in your Creator, putting Him first. Devotion to each other must be a top priority. We must be devoted to one another. It has to be a top priority in the church. After all, we are a body. Bodies need other members. Christians devote to loving their fellow believers. That's the way the scriptures describe Christians. Jesus commands us to love one another. He repeated it several times, and it is repeated again by the apostles and the other writers. The first century believers practiced loving each other. You remember our passage that was read this morning? Let's go back and read it one more time. We see how the early church put into practice loving God and loving one another. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 through the end of the chapter. Everyone, this is talking about the Christians, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We see here the practice of the Christians, believers, thinking about each other. It was part of their life. Every member is supplied help from the rest of the body. In the analogy of we are all one body, think about that. The eyes watch for food and for drink, for pleasure, for obstacles and for danger. The nose is the passageway to bring fresh air in and also to exhale the used air, as well as smelling to lure us to good stuff and warn us from the bad skunks of life. Bones serve as and muscles work. The joints work together, bending at the right time, the right angles. Nerves relay messages. Everything in our body works to help the rest of the body. Drinking water, it works. Clearing the phlegm from the throat. Everything has to work together in the right way, at the right time, in order for the whole body to function. We must learn more about each other so we can help each other. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Servant of all. We are to replicate the life of Christ. He came not to be served, but to serve. Excuse me. Losing that hour of sleep, I didn't have a chance to clean everything out, I guess. Serve each other as Jesus, our Master, served us. So much so that sometimes it may even require us giving our life for each other. Everyone helping the other. What is your love, your affection, your devotion to? Is it something where you are helping out the body of Christ, or are you just serving your self-interests? The body thrives on being united together, helping itself. We are brought together by Christ as one body. It's a spiritual body. We are grafted in to the body as believers. When we think about our body, if you remember your biology, every cell of our body functions as an individual cell, and yet that cell also combines with other cells to do specific functions. Cells working side by side, hand in hand, gripped to each other, bound together to form skin, muscles, bones, and full systems so that the whole body can survive. How willing are you to cling to your brothers and sisters in faith? Don't look at me, look around the room. Who is it you are not clinging to? Who is it you are not helping? If you're not helping the entire body, then we are failing. We're weak. We're sick. And God wants us to be strong. So we need to find ways of helping each other, clinging together as fellow believers in the Lord of life. We are in a spiritual battle against Satan and the powers of darkness, and we've got to stick together. The fourth point is that servants of Christ practice brotherly love. We see this mentioned in verse 10, that it is just part of us. We will live our love. Satan is doing all he can to divide us and to destroy God's unity. As Christ's body, we need to wrap our arms around each other. Paul lists several ways we can defeat the devil in the next few verses and as well in his other letters. Believers use their differences to strengthen the rest of the body. There was a whole bunch of wood used in constructing this building. And as you know, wood has fibers in it. But if you look at these beams, there's only four beams holding up this roof. They are boards laminated to each other, glued together, because fibers in one board will go this direction and fibers in another board will go another direction. And when you glue all those together, making these thick beams, they are stronger than just a regular block of wood. After all, how many of you have seen a tree that's shaped that way? We have learned through engineering to make plywood and these types of beams that have greater strength in them by combining them side by side, working hand in hand, the fibers strengthening the other fibers to be stronger. The body of Christ is joined by the blood of our Savior to be how many bodies? One body. And we are called to be so entwined with each other that nothing can defeat the body of Christ. But what happens when we're doing things our own way? We're going to splinter. We're going to get fractured. We're getting broken. So I encourage you, we need to stick together. Remember, we are bound together by one Lord through His blood to be the body of Christ. God's Spirit helps believers work through their differences. How many of us have differences? Y'all better raise your hand. We're all different, and yet we are called to be one body led by one head, by one Jesus Christ. Remember how much of your sin God graciously puts aside, has put up with, as you have lived for Him. God has fulfilled His part by forgiving us. Do we forgive those around us as easily? Jesus forgave us, and we are to forgive one another. And that's sometimes difficult. But remember, our Lord and Savior, He did it, and we are to follow His pattern. It's pretty easy to get critical about each other when we learn each other's faults. But when we learn each other's faults, we need to learn to fill in and help each other to relieve the stress of each other, to bind together with the power of God, the power of the Spirit. Use the fruit of the Spirit when you struggle with a brother. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. What's that next one? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let God bind us together. God identifies Christians as brothers 230 times in the New Testament. All of us are brothers. We're family. It all began in the book of Acts, and we see it, we read about it, working together, willing to help each other wherever there was a need. The question is the story of the book of Acts continuing? I hope so. I believe so. Sometimes we don't do a very good job at it, and we need to improve. We are called to be the family of God in a world that desperately needs saved. And there's only how many saviors? One Savior, Jesus, and we have the message. Can you look around this group and sincerely claim all as brothers? If you're having a struggle with somebody, I encourage you to reunite with them, bind together, find ways to reconcile and strengthen each other in the call of Christ. How can we increase our devotion to each other? Our Savior gave His life for us, and we are called to replicate what He did in His life to loving the people around Him in their lives. He commanded us, love one another. Be sure that you are buried and raised in Christ. If there are any who have not obeyed the command of Christ to be, if you're a believer of Christ and you have not been baptized, buried in the waters, and raised as He commanded, we encourage you, don't delay. Paul already addressed that in Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul also addresses it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. He talks about us putting on Christ at what point? At our baptism. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we are told that we are given a special gift, a special help from God. God gives us His Holy Spirit when we are believers, repentant, seeking Christ, buried in the waters. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is talked about over and over in Scripture, but we have to obey the commands Jesus gave us. Spend more time with the whole body. If your priorities are focused on TV, hobbies, clubs, personal items, personal time, God's Word says your priorities are mixed up. They're in the wrong order. God first in all things. How can we claim to love the unseen God if we refuse to love the people we can see? 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. If we see somebody in our church family in need, we need to jump to the rescue. help each other. Do what's necessary. And I know some of you are already doing that. Let's all do it all the time. Increase your knowledge by visiting with every church member. Introduce yourself to those that you don't know. Remember, I talked about this? We did the pictorial directory, so you can put the name with the people. Now, there's going to be people that come that we don't have a picture of, we don't have their names. So how do you remedy that? How do we get over that? Walk up and say, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm David, by the way. I'm not so-and-so. And find out people's names. Learn more about each other. Amen? Get to know each other. Spend time with each other. Start doing things together. Share your joys with each other. Hey, by the way, did you know we got a new grandbaby in the family? You're going to get sick and tired of hearing about that. Share the good news. And also share the burdens. Share the things that you need help with. The concerns. We are family. We are Christ's body. Share the mundane things. Share the frustrations. Share the successes. Work on projects together. Travel together. Eat together. Open up your homes. Grow together. We're family. We're the body. Conquer your differences with Christ's love. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, the last phrase of this chapter says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Find some good stuff to do. Do good things. Live for Jesus by doing things that will please and honor Him. We're all different, and we must all learn to have the mind of our Master, Jesus. Practice Christ's forgiveness. Practice Christ's humility, His patience, and all the other characteristics. Pray for the will of Christ to guide every believer. Who is included in that every believer? Ourself. Pray that we will overcome our shortcomings as we help the church body. Jesus devoted Himself to becoming our Savior. He fulfilled the will of God. He left the perfection of heaven to live among us sinners in poverty, even to the point of bearing our sin on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus has saved us. But in doing that, He made a doorway for us to go to heaven if we love Him and love one another. Let's love each other. Let's be devoted to each other. As the Scripture leads us, teaches us, commands us, pleads with us, meeting the needs of each other so that God's body thrives. Let us each joyfully devote ourselves to one another, and God will be glorified. Amen? Would you pray with me? Thank You, Father, for the day. Thank You for Your blessings that You give to us. Thank You for Jesus, for redemption and holiness. Thank You for the promise of eternity. Let us be Your people, devoted to You and devoted to each other, in Your love, in Your power, in Your strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.